spend the time in your presence. God, that you would speak down to us. We're small. We don't have it all figured out. We've got brokenness and confusions in our lives. But Lord, you meet with us tonight. And God, we are ready to hear from you. We are ready to hear from you. Are you guys ready to hear from God tonight? All right. Lord, we want you to speak to us. Lord, we want you to speak to us. So Father, by your Holy Spirit, take the scripture and take the life that you've imparted to me and that you've shared with me as I've been praying and waiting for these guys, and impart it to these students. And Lord, I pray that you would raise them and help them to walk victorious, conquering lives, not because they're champions, but because they have trusted in the one who is the champion, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for our time tonight. Speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat, guys. Go ahead and grab a seat. Hey, I was confronted with a student just tonight who walked up to me and said, "Brandon, 3 weeks, school starts." Oh, who is ridiculously upset about that? Anybody? Okay, who's really excited about that? Okay, that's cool. All right, pretty excited about the school. Yeah, that, I'm with you. It's kind of like a mixed bag of emotions. Okay, so I had a rude awakening when I transitioned from junior high to high school. Let me tell you about one of my middle school girlfriends named Amy Osmond. Amy Osmond. She was so beautiful, and I was like, "You're so amazing." And we went out, and we were in seventh grade. It's like seventh, eighth grade. We had a really, really, really long, deep, developed relationship of like 3 weeks. And yeah, and so we were dating, or whatever we called it back then in the dark ages. But anyways, we were dating, and here's how our relationship went. I mean, like, we'd see each other in the cafeteria. We'd spend some time around each other. We might call each other on the phone. We'd spend a little bit of time around each other. However, our relationship came to a very rocky end toward the end of our, in like seventh and eighth grade, because at the end of school one day, I was hanging with her, and I was like, "Hey, girl, yes, can I hold your hand?" And here's what happened. She looked me in the eye, started giggling, and ran off. It's true. It's true. So soon after we broke up, I could tell she couldn't handle a mature relationship, and so we decided to break up. And that was in middle school. And then I get into high school, and within a couple weeks, actually, I had lost touch with Amy from the eighth grade into my freshman year. And then I go into my freshman year, and I'm thinking, man, I'm coming into high school. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. Only to find that Amy, over the summer, freshman Amy, had started to date one of the big, huge dudes on the varsity football team who was a junior. His name was Brandon, like my name, but he was like a two times version of this Brandon. I was very small back in the day, okay, much like Eli. But anyways, so yeah, I was very small. And so I get into school, and I'm like, "Oh, she's going out with Brandon Minton. Oh, awesome. It's great." And I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness, man, this is awful." And I noticed a bunch of the girls in my class were going out with juniors and senior guys. Have any of you ever noticed that phenomenon? Those of you in high school? Okay. Yeah, I noticed that. And I'm like, "What? What?" Because in junior high, I was like, "I'm pretty awesome." And then I got to high school, and I was like, "I'm pretty small." He's like, "I got a driver's license." I'm like, "I got a big zit right here," you know? And I had a rude awakening when I got to high school. And it was a change in my world. In fact, I remember, deep down inside, I was like, "Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I didn't like that girl anyways," and stuff. But really, deep down inside, I was actually really afraid of Brandon because he was massive. And I remember during football, I played football, and he was a junior. And there was this one play where I was on the scout team, and I was out as a cornerback out on the outside, and he was one of the linemen. He was pulling, and he came out to pull, and he was coming right at me. And I remember, this was practice, I was like, "I'm too young to die." And I stepped aside, and he ran right through. Well, he was massive. I was afraid of that guy. I was really afraid of that guy. I noticed a lot of fears that surfaced in high school. Well, something else I'm afraid of, I am deathly afraid of snakes. I hate snakes. Hate snakes. I hate them. May they all die and die. Many times over, death. I hate snakes. Well, I faced my greatest fear, my straightforward greatest fear, when I was on vacation in Orlando just a couple months ago before the summer, right? So my uncle lives on a lake. There are a lot of snakes or alligators or crocodiles or whatever they have down in Florida in his lake. And we knew this, and I remember stories when I was growing up of water moccasins at that lake, but I don't remember these. So I'm there with Hannah and Moses, and for the sake of my illustration, this is going to be Moses tonight, okay? Behold, Moses. Does this scare any of you guys? Okay, this thing is a little bit scary. Okay, cool. This is my son is way better looking than this. Okay, just relax. Okay, so this is Moses. And here's, I was wading in the lake about this high up next to my uncle's dock. And there's a lot of different things. And I remember getting into the water the first time, the first couple days. And there's a bunch of strings and a bunch of grass. Everything looked like a snake. Everything looked like a snake. Everything looked like a snake. And I'm just like walking really. And we got a couple days in. I got a little comfortable. I hadn't seen anything. And I'm holding Moses right here. We're playing in the water. Hannah's off on the beach. I'm right by the dock. And there's, it's just, we're having fun. The weather's great. And there's like three or four girls around Hannah's age and some of my cousins and stuff. And suddenly I look over under the dock. Oh, there's this water moccasin coming right toward us. I'm holding Moses right here. Okay? And so the girls are right here. The moccasin's right here, and it wasn't a huge moccasin. It might have only been like a foot and a half long. It was not that big. And so, and if teeth were that big, no. And so I'm holding Moses here. Now, for the sake of this illustration, I'm going to tell you what was going on inside me, and then I'm going to tell you what I did on the outside. Okay? Here's what was going on the inside. Ah! Ah! Okay? The problem is, Moses, I'm kidding. The problem is, on the outside, that's not what I did, okay? And here's more what it looked like.
Ladies, you stay right there.
And then running across and splashing water and holding Moses back and the snake goes slithering off, right? That's what was on the outside. And it sounds real macho and masculine, but probably the main reason that I did that was because there was a bunch of girls around and I didn't want to be the guy that had a girl chase away a snake for him. I didn't want to be that guy. Can anyone relate to that? One of you. I have failed miserably. Okay. So, yeah, and my wife was like, I'm chasing after the snake, and I've got Moses right over here on my hip. And I'm like, this is awesome. You know, splashing the thing away, and it goes away. So Moses, needless to say, did not die. Would you hold Moses for me? Cool. So school's starting in a month. Let me ask you a question. What are you afraid of? Not in life, not snakes, about school. What are you afraid of about school starting? See, the vast majority of us in this room have some fears dealing with school. You go back into school and there's some things that you're going to face, or there's things that you might face, or the things that you don't want to face that you think are going to be there. But school starting. Here's the thing. Two things. Don't ever forget this. In dealing with fear, call it like it is, take it to Jesus. If you're taking notes, write that down. Call it like it is, take it to Jesus. When I was back in that lake, back in my uncle's, and I, after that point with the snake, the entire time I was in the lake, what do you think my eyes were doing all the time? I'm just looking. I'm constantly looking for a snake because I had encountered one earlier. You have to call fears like they are. If you're afraid of something, you have to call it what it is, and then you have to take it to Jesus. Now, I'd like to say in the water I had a, oh, Jesus, I come to you in the name of Jesus against that snake. And it didn't work that way. But here's the thing. As you face fears, as you go back to school, you have to take your fears, you have to call them like they are, and you have to take them to Jesus. Let's talk. How many of you are going to a new school this year? Not a new school district, a new school building. You might be going into the middle school, you might be going into a high school. Raise your hand if you're going to a new school, okay? So about a third of you in this room are going into a new school. How many of you remember going into a new school? Okay, tracking. So if you're going into a new school, you've been in a new school, or someday you will, going into a new school. Let me tell you about Shelby Harpstrite. Shelby Harpstrite. Say Shelby Harpstrite.
Shelby Harpstrite.
Okay, here's who Shelby was. Shelby was one of the first guys that I met when my dad decided. Shelby's a guy. What's your deal? I'm like, what did I do? Did I just cuss? I mean, wow. Shelby is a guy. Did I say he was a girl? Okay, back on topic. Here we go. Shelby is a guy, one of the first guys that I met when my dad moved our family from near Chicago, Illinois, down to Wichita, Kansas. This was the second time that we had moved cross country, 13, 14 hours away. And I, in the middle school, get into this new school, and I'm walking some of the first days in the hall. And if you've ever moved to a new school, you know what I'm talking about. It's scary. It is not a comfortable thing. How many of you have moved to a new school and you know what I'm talking about? It can be a very fearful thing. Well, I get into that new school, and really, I just want to know people and be known. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just want to know people and be known. And I get into this new school, and Shelby's one of the first people that I encounter. Here's what I noticed about Shelby. People talked to Shelby. People talked about Shelby. Shelby was kind of at the center of a lot of conversations. The more I got to know about Shelby, I got to see that one of the reasons why people talked about Shelby, and I guess kind of like Shelby, was because he'd do whatever he wanted to do. He would stand up in a class, and he'd tell a teacher what he thought. He just couldn't control him. He was a real good athlete. He did whatever he wanted. He was kind of rough around the edges. And so that's just the way Shelby was. So for me, I'm thinking, I kind of want to know Shelby, right? Because people like Shelby. If I know Shelby and Shelby likes me, then people like me. That's just where I was. And here's what I noticed started happening. There were some things about Shelby in his life. Shelby very much didn't have a regard for authority or respect or anything like that, broke several rules. And for about the first 2 or 3 months of me going to that school in Kansas, I had some patterns that started building up in my life. I started acting certain ways at home. I started doing certain things at home. I started treating my parents in certain ways that they had not raised me to do, partly because I had closened myself, brought myself close to Shelby. About 4 months into my time at that school, Shelby got busted for having pot in his locker. He was a seventh grader. That's just where he was. Here's the thing. If you're going to a new school, you're dealing with some fear about that, Jesus wants to say something to you tonight. You ready? Here's what Jesus is saying to you tonight. You're going to a new school. This is what he's saying. Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Brother, sister, friend, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You're going to a new school. I'm with you on day one. I'm also with you on day two, and I'll be with you on the day that you leave that school for the last time. I will walk with you. Jesus also says this. He says this, for where two or more gather together in my name, there I am in their midst. Here's why this is such great news. Because you don't have to seek Shelby's approval and affection. How many of you know a Shelby? How many of you know a guy or a gal like that? Yeah. You know what I notice? This is kind of a side note. You know what I notice about guys like Shelby? People don't like Shelby. People fear Shelby. They fear him because they don't know. They're unpredictable. They don't know what they're going to do. It's not that people really look at him and say, man, that guy's awesome. They just fear him. You don't have to seek those guys' approval. Here's the thing. Jesus is saying to you this. Where two or three gather in my name, there I am in your midst. And there will come a time in your school experience, in new school, where you are going to feel like you're by yourself and you're going to feel that way. But you're going to have to make a choice of whether you're going to call this fear like it is and take it to Jesus, or are you just going to live in this fear? The reality is, Jesus said, if just two of you will come together that have my name and my presence as their chief goal, I will show up in their midst. What does that sound like? Sounds like a cell group, doesn't it? Sounds like what we do. We do student cells. And here's what's great about student cells. Many of you guys are in student cells, or you've been praying about it, and you've been doing training. Here's what's great about student cells. Student cells don't have to meet in this building. They can meet in your lunchroom. They can meet in the locker room. They can meet in a living room. They can meet anywhere. So that no matter what you go through, no matter what new school you go into, you can have the presence of Jesus right there in your midst. And I can tell you this, guys. I would much rather one or two friends who seek Jesus with me than 1,000 Shelby Harpstrides and all of the respect from them. Do you? Are you afraid? Some of you might be afraid of big decisions you have to make this year. Juniors, seniors, you got some big decisions coming. You're going to get asked a million times, seniors-to-be, you're going to ask a million times what college you're going to go to. It's a question like, what is your existence worth? I mean, it's like a massive, weighty question. Big decisions. Let me tell you about Allen County Community College. Ever heard of Allen County Community College? No. Me either until I went there. There's a railroad track, and that's the only reason that the town shows up on the map. I went there to play college baseball. Here's the thing. As I was walking through high school, I was not connected with God. I knew about God, but I wasn't connected with God. There is a difference. And in my best understanding, I remember my senior year while I was playing baseball, all I wanted to do was go play college baseball and go on to the professionals. All I wanted to do was that. And I had such a tension inside me. Every time I'd go up at a high school baseball game, man, what scout was in the stands? Who's watching? I'd play my summer baseball. Oh, man, that's a coach from Nebraska. That's a coach from this, or that's a coach from this. And I'm constantly watching. I had this tension inside me. I was not connected to God. And in my best infinite wisdom, which was absolutely nothing, I really felt like the best opportunity for me was to go to Allen County and play baseball there. Now watch this. That had very little to do with God when I made that decision. But even in that decision, Allen County is where I met Jesus. I didn't go to Allen to meet Jesus, but I met him there. My foolish wisdom led me to Allen, and in my foolish wisdom, I found Jesus. So watch this. So you are connected with God. Some of you guys, most of you guys walk with God. You've got big decisions to make, and you're feeling some anxiety and some anxiousness about that. Maybe it's changing a school or going doing certain programs or doing certain clubs or certain teams. Should I do this or should I give this up or should I press on with this? You've got these big decisions to make. Here's the thing. You are connected with God. If God can take me disconnected from God and bring me to Christ through my best wisdom and my direction, he can take you waiting on God and get you exactly where he wants you to be. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Here's the thing. This is what Jesus is saying to you tonight. You lack a big decision, you need it, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and that door will be open to you. This Jesus walks with you through big decisions. This is kind of a harder one to talk about. Are you afraid of being rejected when school starts? You may go, well, what do you mean? Well, rejection. It might not look like someone walking up and putting a post-it note rejected on you. It doesn't look like that, right? It's not a name badge. But here's what it might look like. Here's what rejection might look like for you. It might look like not making first team on varsity. It might look like not being first chair or making show choir. It might look like not being at a certain place in the band. It might look like not making that volleyball team. Here's the thing. Jesus doesn't promise that you and I won't be rejected. In fact, I dare say if you follow Jesus, he guarantees that you'll be rejected. Watch this. He promises this to us. He says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Richland College. Have you ever heard of Richland College? Okay. Richland College is up in North Dallas. That's where the second place that I went to play baseball. So I go to play baseball. I begin to follow Jesus between my freshman year of college and my sophomore year of college. And I start connecting with God, and God starts speaking to me, and I feel like God tells me to go down to Richland College in North Dallas, which is what brought me here. And I go to school, and I start playing, and I'm trying as hard as I can. I'm doing well, and I'm succeeding. I feel like I'm doing awesome. 2 or 3 months into the season, the way that that college works is they have 2 or 3 months of practice, which is basically a glorified long tryout. And suddenly, around November of that year, I got cut. I got cut from the team. Hey, there's no way to shake that. The bottom line is that was rejection. Would you agree with me? Hey, that's something. I mean, that hurts, but it's not everything. It's a part of life. See, the thing was, I could kind of sugarcoat it and go, well, I feel like God told me to stop playing baseball, which is true in the sense that God was telling me about serving in ministry at the time. But because I wouldn't give up baseball, God allowed me to get cut because I would have never given it up on my own. God said, if you're going to fight between baseball and me, I'll make the decision very easy. But let me tell you how God worked it out. Because I got cut from the team, at the church that I was going to, I had a man that came up to me and said, would you like to learn how to share your faith? Sure, I'd love to. I mean, what do I got to do? I mean, I'd love to. Teach me how to tell people about Jesus. He's changing my life. He's rocking me. How many of you feel that way? Man, help me. Teach me how to tell people about what God's doing in my life. It's amazing. It was a great season of life. This guy walked up to me and he said, well, you want to learn? Sure. He said, we've got this thing called Evangelism Explosion. It's a class that we do. Oh, when is it? It's Tuesday nights, beginning in February. Well, guess what night college baseball plays on? Tuesday. There's no way I could have done both. God allowed me to get cut from the team, and I entered into Evangelism Explosion, and within 3 or 4 months, I was a student intern, which began my journey as a student pastor. So don't you understand? I hope you hear me saying this. Without that rejection, I'm not here today. You tracking with me? So as you process through the rejections or what feels like a rejection in your life or whatever what you fear might happen when you try out for this sport or when you go out for that position in choir or when you're doing this club or when you're going out for student body president or whatever you're doing, when you fear rejection, that it might not turn out as you understand, you've got to understand Jesus has a higher calling for your life. And he calls out to you just like he called out to a plain, forgettable fisherman named Peter. And he says, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Those teammates of mine at Richland College, they're scattered all over the country. I don't know where they are. I don't know. Because guess what? These teams that you try out for and that you play for are temporary. But Jesus' calling to be a fisher of men and follow him is forever. So, if you get a rejection, hey, it hurts. Grieve with it. It's okay. I'll cry with you. But don't you dare forget that Jesus calls you to something so much more enduring than that team or that club or that choir. Are you afraid of being invisible at school? Some of you like to be invisible and don't like to be noticed, but some of you are desperately afraid of being invisible. And it comes out in how you act around people. You try to get people to notice you. You try to get people to see you. Let me tell you about a guy named Justin Pond. Justin Pond. Justin was a junior when I was a freshman. So I was elected to student council my freshman year. And I go into student council, and we had this class. And Justin was a junior, and I had a lot of respect for Justin because I'd heard his name a lot. And man, I thought he had an older brother who was really kind of cool. Justin was a kicker for the football team. He was going to go on scholarship and kick in college. And from a distance, I kind of thought this was a pretty cool dude. But from the day that I stepped foot in student council, Justin was an absolute butthead to me. He was a jerk. In fact, I remember this. He lived in the same neighborhood as I did. I remember going over to his house once and playing basketball with some of my buddies, my freshman buddies, and we were at his house and his brother's house playing basketball. And I remember him intentionally hitting me while we were playing and throwing me up against the wall just to make a point. See, Justin had tension with my older brother who was a senior. And Justin was taking it out on me. Here's the thing. I went into high school really wanting to be noticed by Justin. I remember we'd be sitting in gatherings of student council, and I'd throw in jokes just because I wanted to laugh what the seniors were laughing about. I wanted to laugh what the juniors were laughing about. And I just wanted to be noticed by these guys. And Justin would look at me and say things like, dude, that's so dumb. He'd say things like, man, you're retarded. He'd just throw things at me like that. Do you know what Justin's doing right now? Neither do I. And that's my point. You get it? Some of those people that you are trying so hard to be noticed by, you will have no grasp of where they are. They will drop off the face of the map. And quite frankly, Justin was a guy who only lived to please himself. And I wanted to be visible in his eyes. Whose eyes do you want to be visible in? People that are just selfish? Because if you want to be visible in their eyes, you're going to have to do things according to the way they do things, which is compromise, selfishness, anger, bitter, jealousy, deceit. But if you follow Christ, you're going to find the exact opposite being called out of your life. Jesus says this to you. You who are afraid of being invisible at your school, here's what Jesus promises you. He says, you did not choose me, I chose you. And I chose you to bear fruit and fruit that lasts. It says in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit and fruit that will last. Listen to me. You may never make it into the popular circles at school. You may never be the person that everyone talks about. In fact, one of the things that I would pray for my daughter, Hannah, I kind of pray that she's not popular. Because I don't want, to be quite frank with you, I don't want a bunch of boys coming after trying to get at her. I'd rather my daughter be invisible through high school because God can protect her from things that way. Those of you who are afraid of being invisible, here's what you got to know. If Jesus reached out and called to you and you've put your trust in Jesus, Jesus has a plan to use you to bear fruit. And this scripture doesn't say, I have chosen you to bear fruit when you get into college. It says, I have chosen to bear fruit. And you don't know right now, the person that might be the fruit bearer that hears the gospel through you and that's life may be radically changed might be walking into school for the first time this year and you haven't even met him yet. You just be faithful. Jesus says, I've got a plan and I chose you to bear fruit. Here's the deal. If you're on a football team or you're on a choir team or whatever, Nick, when you put that jersey on at Keller, you're not doing that to bear fruit for you. May your name be forgettable. It's so Jesus Christ will be glorified and will bear fruit through you. That's why God gives you what you have. He wants to make his name known through you. Here's a truth I want you just to sit on. Perfect love casts out fear. Whatever fear you're dealing with about going back to school, perfect love casts it out. Not good self-help. Not me telling you, you're awesome. You're super. That's not going to cast out your fear. Here's what's going to cast out your fear. You being connected to a loving Father who is not going anywhere, who's been with you from the beginning, who will be with you at the end, who will walk with you, will endure with you, will pick you up when you hurt, who loves you, who tells you when you're wrong and tells you a better way to go, who corrects you lovingly, and who never gives up on you. That's the perfect love that can cast out your fear of rejection, your fear of being invisible, your fear of your new school, your fear of the big decisions that you have to make. Scripture says this, there is no fear in love. There is no fear. But perfect love drives out fear. See, when we grasp the love of God in our lives, and we hear from him that he loves us and he cares for us, and sometimes that love is hard, it takes the fears that you have and it kicks them out and it basically says there's no room in here anymore for it. But when a person is blocked from the love of God, the fear remains. Some of you, when I said, what are you afraid of about going back to school? Some of you said this, dude, I'm not afraid of anything. Let me ask you a question. Are you not afraid of anything because of how awesome you think you are? Or are you not afraid of anything because you've taken these already and you've given them to Jesus? Did you rise from the grave? Are you sinless? Did you heal the blind? Did you walk on water? When you're not that awesome. Jesus is, and he's speaking to you tonight. And he loves you. And he wants you. He cares for you. So here's the thing. Let me show you what happens in life if you do not call fear what it is and you don't take it to Jesus. Let me show you what happens. So you're going to be going about your day. You're going to be going about your life, going through school, and you're going to feel like God has something for you. This would be the time that you guys would come in. Yeah. You're going to feel like God has something for you. And you're going to feel like God is telling you to do something. God's giving you some kind of a special instruction. Or, man, you're sitting at lunch and you're like, oh, man, I think I'm supposed to go sit with that guy. And that's not ladies, But you're like, I mean, I think God's telling me to go sit with that guy. He seems like he's lonely. He seems like, man, maybe he's a little bit confused. Or I think God wants me to go speak to that girl and tell her that I'm here for her if she ever needs anything. Or, man, I feel like I'm supposed to walk up to that teacher and tell that teacher that, man, God has a plan for her life. That's a teacher. They might get mad at me. I don't know what to do. Oh, man. And you're hearing these things from God. And what ends up happening is as you start hearing these things from God, what happens is you have these fears that creep in and you don't call it like it is, fear that's not from God. And you're hearing from God, but you've got things holding you back from doing what God wants you to do and stopping you from fulfilling his purposes. See, guys, that's the point. Fear paralyzes you. Fear manipulates you. Fear tells you that you can't obey God. Fear says, no, you didn't hear God. Fear says, no, you don't want to go talk to that kid. Those guys over there will probably make fun of you for that. Don't do that. You're going to get made fun of. Don't pray for that person. And suddenly, before you know it, You're cut off from the outside of the world, and you've got fear blocking you in from moving forward. See, guys, fear is the enemy of the purposes of God in your life. You must, you absolutely must call it like it is and take it to Jesus. Let me tell you about a guy named Joe. Let me tell you about a guy named Joe. Joe was a pretty upright guy. Joe was a pretty moral guy. Joe knew a lot about Scripture. Joe was a very moral guy. He didn't do a lot of bad things. He hung around with the right people who didn't do a lot of bad things. But here's the problem with Joe. Joe believed and trusted in Jesus, but Joe was afraid of what people thought. And so what happened was, when it was time for Joe to step forward, Joe hid his devotion to Christ and silently just stayed in the back corners until no one was looking, and then he stepped forward to act out on his devotion and what he believed in Jesus. His full name is Joseph, Joseph of Arimathea. You can read about him in John chapter 17. The sad thing is, he's one of the early followers of Jesus. If you read the book of Acts, he's nowhere to be found. I wonder why. Maybe it's because he cared too much about what people thought. Maybe it's because his devotion was hidden behind fear of rejection. Here's what God said to me for us. God said this. Michael's going to come up here and we're going to worship together, and we got something that we're going to do to walk this out, this truth. Here's what God said to me. God said, Northwood students, this isn't a message just for one person. Northwood students, this is for us. This is a message for us as a group. God said, Northwood students, you have to be a people. You are to be a people that call your fear like they are and bring it to Jesus. We all have our fears. We have to call it like it is and bring it to Jesus. How many of you think when you put one of these on, it's going to be a very scary day? And you heard stories and you look, watch a movie, like the phrase is, a guy gets cold feet. Why do you think a guy gets cold feet? He's afraid. Yeah, there's fear. Here's the thing. I wasn't afraid when I got married. I wasn't afraid. And it's not because I think I'm awesome. Quite frankly, I'm not awesome. I'm jacked up. But I know the guy that is awesome, and he talks with me. And I'm surrounded by some guys who are seeking him too. And I know that through Christ, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And here's the thing. School's going to come and go, and your fears are real. You've got to call them like they are, and you've got to bring them to Jesus. But you're going to pass on out of school, and you're going to have new fears in college. The adults in the room can tell you, when you get your first job, you're going to have new fears. When you make your first mortgage payment, you're going to get new fears. When you have your first kid, you're going to have new fears. Adults, am I right? It doesn't change. Fears come. It's an issue of what you do with those fears. You either call it like it is and take it to Jesus, or you let it paralyze you. So tonight, Michael's going to sing a song. We're going to have the opportunity to worship the Lord together. You'll notice over here there's a cross. There's a cross on both sides. You'll also notice that underneath your chair, there's a little card. Here's what that card says. That card says, my fear about going back to school. I don't know where you are tonight. I can't reach out and say, you're having fear of this or you have fear of this. I don't know. Quite frankly, it might have been all of them. Quite frankly, it might have been none of them. But maybe God showed you one. What we're going to do is we're going to sit in silence for about 30 seconds. While Michael's playing behind me. And what I want you to do, I want you to call your fear like it is on your card. And when you feel led, as Michael sings, I want you to come up and I want you to lay that fear down at the cross. Right here at the cross. Just lay it down at the cross. Leave it here at the cross. You take it to Jesus. And then on these tables, you'll find four cards. On those four cards are the promises that I quoted to you tonight from Jesus. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick up the appropriate promise that deals with the fear that you're dealing with. And I want you to exchange your fear for the promise of Jesus Christ, who's never going to leave you. Northwood students, he is not going to leave us. He will walk with you through your trial. Let's take 30 seconds. Call your fear like it is and exchange it for what Jesus says.